Today is October 8th, 2014, and this is episode number 275, all prime numbers, of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, Mean Mr. Mustard's lesser-known cousin, cranky cup of ketchup.
Well played.
That's played. That's my title here at TMO, cranky cup of ketchup because of Uncle... Yeah. Anyway, to get the full start on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment or question anything about the show, we like it when you write us, by the way. But and you can do so at acm@macobserver.com. Come straight to both me and Jeff.
Totally. Right straight to us. Special delivery. I need to point out that the number of times I have applauded... Mm-hmm. For your title, I believe amount to one.
I think so. and I thank you.
And thank you because that's just awesome. We need to get that on a T-shirt for you.
The cranky cup of ketchup. 275, all prime numbers. I had not noticed that.
I notice little things like that. I actually notice things about the numbers every time I rattle off what episode we're on. I just very rarely share those with the rest of the world.
Fair enough. And I'm glad that you notice these things. Someone's got to, right?
That's right. This is a tough job, but someone has to do it.
Someone has to do it. There's a song there somewhere. Let's see here. We have some interesting topics today, I think.
Do we?
Yeah, which one do you want to start with?
Should we get the announcement thing out of the way first?
Which announcement thing?
The Apple announcement thing.
Oh, sure. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Today, the Apple did that announcement thing. Yeah. Okay, great. What's the second topic?
The second topic... Well, see, now I have to scroll and find the list that we
had. No. So Apple announced the October 16th media event.
Oh, no, I thought we were done with the topic and moving on to the next thing already.
Well, yeah, but I was faking it.
Yeah, and I was moving on. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine.
We still have all the other topics to talk about, too.
I really thought the show was going super fast.
And really well for a change.
I know. It was like everything went smoothly, and I didn't want to push our luck, so I was wrapping up.
Fly by there. So the 16th of October, that would be roughly, if you're, you know, give or take a bit, 8 days from now.
Right. So that's next Thursday.
Next Thursday, right. And we're recording this on Wednesday the 8th, as noted at the top of the show.
That's right. 8 being a multiple of 2.
Definitely. It's definitely prime numbers. 2 is a prime number. It's definitely a prime number.
This is why I don't get to go out very often, isn't it?
Yes. And the fact that I would mock you for it is why I don't have any friends. So, Apple announced...
But you have interns, and that's nearly the same.
That's nearly the same, not quite. October 16th. I'm determined to get this on track. It's going to be at...
Good luck with that.
It's going to be at the Town Hall Auditorium, which is the name of a meeting presentation / hall-y thing in the current Apple headquarters.
Right, the boxy one, not the spaceship one.
The boxy... Well, it's one infinite loop.
Well, that's the street name.
But the buildings are boxy.
Yes.
But they're good.
Yes, they are.
I win. I think I win all of the internets for that one. But
yes, you do.
Yeah, so it's going to be held in this town hall auditorium. We suspect, of course, that it's going to be new iPads and new Macs and the release of OS X, and not. Too many other sites noted this, but Apple did say that Apple Pay would launch in the middle of October. Now, October 16th is sort of the middle of October, by which I mean it's the middle of October.
Well, it's the middle of October, and it's exactly the middle of October on leap year when October goes to 32 days?
No.
Oh, come on. Someone's sitting there thinking, yeah, you know, if you had 16.
No, it's the middle of October all of the years.
Come on.
The 16th is roughly the middle of a 31.
If you had not said anything, there would have been someone out there that would have been, yeah, that's right, leap year.
That's the extra day.
And now you've ruined it.
I know.
Mr. Ketchup Man.
Yeah, cranky cup of ketchup. That's what I am.
You know, I really thought that I was totally on track for staying on track for this show before we started. What went wrong?
Wait, you didn't take your Ritalin.
No.
October 16th, this event, Apple Pay. I think I have little doubt that Apple will launch Apple Pay then too. Now, not that that's not like the biggest thing in the world, but one of the things of course, you know, we always talk about what Apple's invitations mean.
Right.
And this one had the top of the Apple logo, similar to, I think, the last one, right? Is it the top?
They look very similar with kind of the rainbow colors going through.
I think the last one didn't have the rainbow colors. It was black and white, gray, shades of gray.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Well, wait, what's the thing that they did with the rainbow and the... Oh, they did the rainbow Apple outline for the Pride Day March. That's what I'm mixing together.
Oh, yeah. That is a good point.
Didn't they use it for
the Mac? Freaking awesome looking, too.
Yeah. They used it on the Mac anniversary.
Well, logo, they had the same shades of color, but sort of in the you know, like a tie-dyed tie-dye doesn't really do it justice, but for WWDC, right?
Okay,
it's the strong bold flashes of color for that, but of course, you know, those this one does harken. Lots of people just immediately said maybe. Okay, all right. We're doing a terrible job of this. We're just doing a terrible job. The tagline for this media event is "It's been way too long," quote unquote. It's been way too long. And one of the very first things that several people noted, some of our readers, various other writers that I follow on Twitter, that sort of thing, were quipping that maybe it meant that Apple was going to go back to a six-color logo.
I don't think they're going back to a six-color logo. I mean, maybe they are, but...
What's it mean? I mean, you saying that right there means, you know, it's pretty much assured.
Oh, that's a good point. All right, well, welcome back, Rainbow Logo. There you go.
But I mean, what else is, so, you know, it's been a long time since iMacs were updated. It's been a long time since the Mac Pro was updated. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since Mac Minis. I think Mac Minis are like 2 years now, right?
Right, and MacBook Air. It's been
a year.
Okay, see, that's
less than a year. Less than a year, even, right?
Really?
They were certainly.
They did the minor performance bump.
No, last year they showed us the MacBook Airs that had 24-hour battery life.
Okay, yeah, so it's been about a year now.
Yeah, but that's not way too long. Apple usually goes a year without before.
Right, I'm just rattling off all the various things that it's been at least a year.
An iPad. It's been a year for iPads. It's been a year for MacBook Airs. It's been technically a year for the iMacs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been 2 years since the Mac Mini. And then it's been
that long for the
Mac Pro was announced a year and a half ago, not quite a year and a half ago, a year and like 4 or 5 months ago.
Right, and there have been no updates to that since it released.
But really, it shipped roughly a year ago, not even a year ago.
Right.
So I would like to see an update to the Mac Pro, that's for sure. I know a lot of people would like to see updates to the Mac Mini. But the question is, what does it mean? It's been way too long. This one to me is definitely a meaningful, like, the we wish we could say more. That was the Apple Watch / iPhone 6 event. The wish we could say more, that I really don't think that means much of anything.
You know, I was speculating this morning that maybe it was just kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, because it's been a month since we've had an Apple event.
Nah, yeah, that would be funny if I can't see that though.
I know, neither can I, but
especially when Apple always does two media events. You know, it's not like this is an aberration where they're suddenly doing another media event.
That's true. Yeah, this is not a surprise thing. It's not new. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I don't know. It's interesting. I really think I don't think that they're going to pitch the media event around a new Mac Mini.
I would be stunned.
And that's the only product that tagline works for.
All right. Well,
what so I think else? It's the logo. I think they're going to adopt the new version of the logo that's outlined, and it's outlined with the old six colors.
All right. Well, that's not the purpose of the media event, but that could be something that happens during the media event.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing that Apple's not just going to roll out a major new design of the logo. Just, you know, kind of stick it up on the site and go its merry way. Apple's going to make a big deal about that because they want everybody talking about it.
No, they've done that before.
A major redesign of the logo?
Yeah, when they went to the flat logo. When they went to the single color logo, they did that as a big mm-hmm. thing. And then going to the flat logo, that was a big change also, but they just did that.
All right, well, I'm going to give that to you. So I don't really know what the heck it means. And this is, you know, this is the fun of these invitations. But this time around, I think it means something. I don't think the last one meant anything. This time it references something.
Yeah, it may. I mean, we'll know on the 16th for sure. Well, I'm assuming we'll know on the 16th if Apple has any level of luck actually getting their message out. Unlike the last event where all we had were color bars. Of course, I'm assuming this means they would actually broadcast this next event. Being at Town Hall, maybe not.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's going to be a small one. There will be a lot fewer journalists on hand for this particular event. So, you know, it's interesting they didn't go to the Urban Buena Center for this. Or at the least, you know, do like the California Theater in downtown San Jose. I mean, not that they've done other media events at the Town Hall, for sure. I mean, this mm-hmm. was not an aberration, but it's surprising that Apple would roll out new iPads and new Macs at an event, and Apple Pay and Yosemite, you know, roll out all these, because there's probably going to be lots of products that were shown here, and it's surprising that they do it at the Town Hall, but that's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing. Now, it's possible that they couldn't get another venue.
It is possible.
It's
not likely, yeah. Apple, generally speaking, has enough money to do it at once and enough foresight to do it when it wants to.
That's true. Yeah, so, yeah, I think it's pretty much a sure thing that we will get an updated iPad Air, and that will, if we don't actually get Yosemite on the 16th, we will get a firm release date, and I think that we'll also get our launch for Apple Pay, and everything else is kind of up in the air.
Yeah. Fair enough. Did you say new iMacs?
I didn't say no to that. I said we'll get new iMacs. Rest of it's up in the air.
I mean, it's possible that if Apple's just doing an iterative upgrade, it's possible they won't take time in this, but we'll certainly have new iMacs this fall.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And so to be clear, what I mean is the things that will be officially announced at this event. So they may not announce new iMacs, even though we will get some sort of update.
Right. It's agreed. I think we'll get more details on Apple Watch. Sorry. That is so not. I so wish I could. So all the jokes we make about deleting stuff from the show, I kind of wish I could actually delete that one. We'll get new details on Apple Pay, and I expect it to launch, and we'll get new details on Yosemite.
All right, I'll accept that. Yep, sounds good.
Rock on.
And since I have said no to the rainbow logo, get ready to see all of Apple's business cards get reprinted.
Oh, I've taken all my life savings and placed a bet on a certain online site. After you said that, I did that while we were talking here.
You're good like that.
All right, speaking of good, let's talk about GT Advanced Technologies.
Not so good.
All right, been a lot of news though since we did our last show.
Oh boy, howdy. Okay, so on Monday, GT Advanced announced that they're filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy, or for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And so we have that. Then we have the news that Apple didn't make their final payment or advance payment to GT. And
let's just back up.
Okay.
Let's go back to, I think, November or December of 2013. And GT Advanced Technologies, some company no one's ever heard of. Well, none of us had ever heard of. The Apple world wasn't paying any attention to them. They make Sapphire, and they announced that they've got some kind of deal with Apple to open up a jointly operated Sapphire production facility in Mesa, Arizona. And this is going to be in a large... I think it was a solar panel plant that Apple bought for pennies on the dollar in Arizona because it had gone out of business.
Right. So they have this factory.
Right. They've got this factory space, and part of that space, but not all of the space, part of that space is going to be dedicated to the production of Sapphire from machinery that GT Advanced Technologies, GTAT, would make, because that's what they do, and operate, because that's what they do. And Apple was paying them upfront money to the tune of $578 million in 4 installments.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. A little over $500 million for those who are keeping score at home. And immediately, so, you know, just kind of refresh everybody to kind of put all this in context. Everyone went into immediate overdrive on what Apple was going to do with all the Sapphire, because that's a lot of Sapphire. You know, it became clear that there were going to be thousands of these furnaces involved.
Right. So the assumption is Apple is going to use Sapphire for the glass surface on the new iPhone models, the 6 and 6 Plus.
Lots of rumors and leaks from the supply chain to that effect.
Right. So it was speculation, not based on people saying, hey, what if, but based on information that was coming out.
Well, really, it kind of went from what if to leaks.
Oh, because
the very first stories were like, you know, maybe Apple's going to use Sapphire for the next iPhone for the glass. Covering the next iPhone. Now, in the meanwhile, Apple had already announced that they were using Sapphire to cover the Touch ID sensors on the iPhone 5S.
Right, and so that wasn't new.
That wasn't new, right. But there was no way that all the Sapphire was being made just to make iPhone part, you know, iPhone Touch ID parts. And then we had, at Apple's annual shareholder meeting, we had Tim Cook telling us that the project that they were working on in Arizona would spark a whole new ecosystem.
That's true.
And so that made me start thinking that, that they were going to be using the sapphire material as watch covers for the then rumored iWatch. And of course, since then, the Apple Watch has actually been announced. It was announced in September.
And you were correct on your speculation.
Some of it. There's three models, right? There's the Sport, the Apple Watch, and the Apple Watch. Apple Watch Sport, Apple Watch, and Apple Watch Edition. And two of those, the Apple Watch and Apple Watch Edition, will use sapphire. And the Sport version is supposed to use another material. This is what Apple said at the media event.
Yeah, they said Ion X glass, which is the same glass that they're using on the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus.
Still bizarre to me that the one built for active people doesn't have sapphire, but whatever. And late in the summer, the rumors turned away from sapphire on the iPhone 6, right? Some of the rumors.
Yeah, some of the rumors.
There were some analysts who were saying that the supply chain said that Apple was delaying the iPhone 6 because they couldn't do sapphire and they were having to make some changes. And there were all kinds of rumors. And the iPhone 6 ended up not having sapphire, but it certainly was not delayed. The iPhone 6 and 6 Plus shipped in record numbers the opening week.
That's true. And are still in very high demand.
And of course, now the question is, what about all that sapphire? What's going on with all that sapphire? It seems like this is certainly a big facility just to be making sapphire for watches, especially when the cheapest version of the watch, which will be the one that sells the most,
doesn't even have sapphire. Yeah.
Now, we know that the iPhone 6 has a sapphire covering its Touch ID lens and uses sapphire as a lens cover for the back camera, right?
Yes. The 6 series and the 5 series, which would be 5 and 5S, use sapphire for the camera lens cover. I don't remember if the 4S does.
I didn't actually think they were using sapphire on the lens cover until the 6.
No, that it was something that they were touting with the 5 and 5S.
I see. Okay. All right. But again, there's theoretically a lot of sapphire being made. And then that brings us to Monday. Oh, well, we should mention that GT Advanced Technology stock took a hit in the weeks leading up to the iPhone, but then it was a minor hit, and then it took like a, I don't know, I think it was like a 20% hit the day that Apple announced the iPhone 6 without sapphire.
Right.
Went from like 17 down to below 14, from over 17 to below 14. So that's like, I don't know, 27%, something like that. And then on Monday, that brings us to Monday. So now we're actually caught up.
Right. So yeah. So then on Monday, GT Advanced announces they're filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which is not a liquidation of the company. Oh, I think I know what your is for, and I just assumed you were going to loop back to that.
we will loop back to that. This was a surprise. I don't think anyone was expecting GT Advanced Technologies to declare bankruptcy, in part because Apple had given them roughly $500 million.
Right. So they had that money. They had the furnaces.
And then supposedly they had a big stockpile of glass that hadn't been accounted for.
Right. We still don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, we still don't know what's up with that. And I wrote a piece using GT Advanced Technologies as an example of how hard it can be to be an Apple supplier. My point was I've long understood that it's very hard to be an Apple supplier. And this, there's several reasons for that. Because Apple's product line is so focused, when they order anything, they order a lot of it.
Yes, that's true.
And I mean, compared to Samsung. Samsung has like, I don't know, 120, 220 different smartphone models if you count all the variations.
I'm pretty sure there's no single person at Samsung that can tell you exactly how many phones they have.
Because by the time they get out the number, they've
it's changed.
It's changed, yeah. And you know, when you're doing that many different models, you're ordering a lot of different parts. You know, of course, some things are going to be shared between those product lines, but the vast majority of things are not. Whereas for Apple, you know, Apple is just so focused. They're so focused, and this is part of Apple's advantage, is that they're able to sell so many products with such a focused line. But Apple has very, very high standards, and because they're putting up large orders, people want to be Apple suppliers. Right? It can be good money being an Apple supplier.
It can be crazy good money.
Yeah, it can be life-changing for a lot of companies.
But it can also explode in your face in a horrible, horrible way.
Yeah, it can, especially if you can't handle the pressure. Right? If you're one of these suppliers and you can't meet Apple's expectations, you know, things are not going to go well for you. At least in terms of that one job. And I've also talked to suppliers who just, like, I remember talking to one supplier who said that they walked away from Apple because Apple's demand, they considered Apple's demands to be outrageous. And this is like totally subjective.
Sure.
You know, some people are going to find Apple's demands to be outrageous, and some people are not. But the reality is that I've read lots of stories, and I have talked to more than one person in the supply chain, and I'm talking about folks who actually know what they're talking about, as opposed to, like, you know, some random Joe. And Apple has a big enough business and enough money that it can demand terms that other companies would not be able to get.
And they get those terms.
And they get those terms because plenty of people want that business. This is the reality. Apple is better at business than everybody else. Certainly in operations.
And some people see that kind of a statement as a negative thing.
Yeah, I was accused of dumping on Apple with my piece. And the funny thing is that, I mean, nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, I didn't read that as you dumping on Apple.
Yeah, or, you know, criticizing, or like somehow saying that Apple is bad. I mean, it's inescapable how well Apple manages its supply chain. And, you know, when you're dealing with the king of operations, there's going to be roadkill along the way. That's just going to happen. You know, GT Advanced Technologies is probably not the last company it's one of the highest profile companies that's gone out of business.
Yeah, well, and they haven't officially gone out of business. That's true. That by going through Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, they'll be able to restructure and continue on with their business, which means that they could potentially be supplying glass to Apple, although I think that's kind of unlikely at this point.
Well, you know, I wonder about that. First of all, I got to do full disclosure. I took $30 and bought myself 30 shares of GT Advanced when the stock collapsed after the bankruptcy.
And so now, a huge investment. Your stock, you've got like $22.
If I were to sell it, yeah, exactly, because, you know, the trade cost me like 10 or something. So, I mean, you know, I'm a huge, massive investor. It was just a whimsical, quite frankly, a whimsical gamble. I bought Citibank. When Citibank was at $1.60 a share, mm-hmm. I bought like 100 shares of Citibank, and they did a reverse stock split. So technically I bought 10 shares at $16, but, you know, they're at 50. So yay.
So at least there's that.
So yeah, anyway, you know, if GT Advance can get its act together, I might end up having $100 instead of 30. All right.
And if so, I'll be so happy for you.
My position in GTAT.
You're actually a major stakeholder as of now.
And my position, I have a tiny, tiny position in Apple too. So not an influence in anything that I ever write or say.
Yes, but $22 in GT Advanced, I'm pretty sure that really does make you a major shareholder.
Well, right, it was $30 plus 10.
All right. Well, let's get past this. The point is, someone somewhere's shaking their head right now, like, I can't believe you spent $30 on that, Brian.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I can't either. It's, you know, it's the gambler inside me, because I definitely have some gamble inside me. But it's important that I make this known, because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm being dishonest about anything. The last thing you said that was actually relevant to, you know,
was the date and episode number.
No. We got a couple of more pertinent lines in there. Was that we don't know if GTAT is going to be continuing to do business with Apple. And the reality is that we really don't know that. Apple said today that the decision to declare bankruptcy by GTAT was a surprise. They didn't say the announcement was a surprise. They said the decision was surprising.
Yeah, I found the wording to be fascinating.
Yeah, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. We don't know. But, the you know, another thing, I didn't really get into it in my piece about this, but there was another thing in the in Apple's statement. So let's read Apple's statement today. We are focused on preserving jobs in Arizona following GTAT's surprising decision, and we will continue to work with state and local officials as we consider our next steps. Now, one, they didn't say they were focused on preserving Sapphire jobs. They said they're focused on preserving jobs. They didn't say that we're focused on preserving these jobs.
That's true.
They said they're focused on preserving jobs in Arizona. Now, a very liberal in the classical sense, not the political sense, interpretation of that would be that Apple would love to find other work for people to do in Arizona, but that it ain't going to be making Sapphire.
And that's possible. It could be that Apple wants to preserve jobs by taking over the Sapphire production, and which could also mean farming it out to another company. But by keeping jobs, by having another company make Sapphire for them.
Right.
Yeah. The wording Apple chose was not arbitrary.
No, it seldom is. Apple is a very careful company. They're very smart. Like I said, they do business better than all the other companies. You know, yes, they make a few mistakes here and there, but by and large, they do business better than everybody else. And certainly, again, in their operations, they're a little bit better. They're a lot better than everybody else. And it is so possible that GTAT just needs some time to get its finances in shape and is going to continue operating these furnaces for Apple, and that they're going to make some Sapphire, and they're going to do some things with it.
And that's totally possible. Of course, we also have to throw in the bit of information about how it looks to me like Apple was losing confidence in GTAT's ability to follow through on their promises, because they didn't make that last payment.
Right. The fourth payment, $139 million, out of the $578 million, Apple didn't pay up. And the reason why they didn't pay up, supposedly, is because GTAT didn't meet either some milestones or technical requirements that they were supposed to have reached as part of their original contract with Apple. Because remember, it's hard to be an Apple supplier. Apple has very high standards. You have to meet those standards if you want to get the money.
That's true. And if Apple's not giving the money, then you're probably not meeting the standards. Of course, there's another thing that plays into this also, which is there's a threshold level where if GTAT's cash dropped below a certain level, then Apple could demand all their money back.
Right. And wasn't there also terms that allowed Apple to seize?
Yeah,
not to seize, to take ownership of the... well, it's kind of seizing.
They can take the furnaces, and they can take back the factory that they're leasing.
And they can also take back, they would be entitled to some intellectual property belonging to GTAT.
They already have some of GTAT's Sapphire-related intellectual property, and they have an option to get more of that now if they want. So they could, in theory, take the furnaces, take the factory back, grab the rest of the Sapphire IP that they need, and then hire another company to come in and run everything and make the manufacturing happen.
Or hire GTAT's technical people and or management.
Sure, they could do that too.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's the interesting thing. GTAT's... So their stock right now is trading at $1.10. Their market cap is $151.3 million as of the close of trading on Wednesday. Now, let me do some math here. carry the four, bring the five over. Ah, $151 million is not much more than $139 million.
I'm so glad you have that high-powered calculator there. Did you borrow that one from John?
I did, as a matter of fact. So Apple could just buy GTAT for a little more than what it owed according to the old contract. And then we have Tom Gutierrez.
Oh, Tom.
He's the CEO of GT Advanced Technologies.
And I'm wondering at this point for how long.
It's hard to know. So, all right, here's the deal. Tom, starting in February, started selling a lot of stock in his own company.
Right, and he hadn't been doing that before. So, like, he sold none in 2013.
Since February, he sold
700,000
shares, including, and I don't really think it's too, assuming that they're telling the truth, I don't think it's too fair to ding him for the shares that got sold the day before the iPhone 6 was announced.
No, but it doesn't look good.
Well, yeah, but if that was scheduled in March, he wouldn't have even known that the iPhone 6 was going to be announced the next day. So, I mean, that's kind of the pertinent issue is the fact that he's been selling 700,000 shares.
Right. And but the other part, the timing on the 9,000 being sold on the 8th and the 6 gets announced on the 9th, it doesn't matter how well-intentioned and innocent that transaction was. It just simply doesn't look good.
Yeah, and it really depends on when. All right, but God, there's so much we don't know. It is, I mean, like so much of all of this story, of all of the talk about this story is conjecture, speculation, analysis, guesstimating.
And tiny bits of information.
We don't know that Apple ever intended to put Sapphire on the iPhone 6. We don't really know that. Apple has never said so.
That's totally correct. And GT Advanced would be in a position to know if Apple had been planning on using Sapphire Glass on the iPhone. But they were also in a position where they wouldn't be allowed to say.
Right. So, like, for all we know, the only thing Apple ever intended to do with the Sapphire is use it for the Apple Watch because they just think they're going to sell a jillion of them.
Right. But with the whole world thinking that this glass was for the iPhone... If we assume that Mr. Gutierrez was making these transactions with insider knowledge, he would be in a position to know that investors would not react positively to the news that he already knew. Which is that there was no plans to use iPhone or Sapphire for the iPhones, and he would also be in a position to know that once that news became public, the value of the company would drop.
Let me give you a devil's advocate position.
Excellent, because I was not accusing him, just tossing that out as a possible scenario.
Yeah, fair enough. So GTAT's stock goes on a ride because of their deal with Apple. and everybody's stoked about the company. Stock shoots up. This all happened starting in 2013. Mm-hmm. Mr. Gutierrez, he's been working hard. He's going to take some of the shares. I don't know how many total shares he has. And he's going to sell some of those shares because he's been working hard. So, boom. He schedules it all out because you have to, due to SEC regulations, you actually have to, if you're an officer in a company, director in a company, you have to file your plans for what you're going to do with your stock. And so he decides he's going to sell a bunch of stock, and he's going to do it over the course of the next year because the stock is flying high.
Sure. And for all we know, he was planning on retiring at the end of the year.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, right. We don't know. I mean, Tim Cook, I think Tim Cook has exercised options. Most of Apple's top executives have certainly exercised plenty of options. And they tend to do it when the company's doing well. But so, which makes and then sense. After he schedules those sales, they start having problems with the furnaces, with this whole production facility, or the product itself, or Apple discovers a flaw with Sapphire. Who knows? But it's sometime after he set all this in motion that Apple decided to not use the iPhone 6, use Sapphire for the iPhone 6. That is. It is completely possible. We don't know one way or the other.
Yep, it's totally possible.
So he might not, but it looks bad. It absolutely, to your original point, it looks bad, and we don't know where this is going to wind up. I think Sapphire is just a fascinating material. I was really excited to see Apple do something new and interesting with Sapphire. I hope it's still going to happen.
I hope it does too. I want to see some really cool things come out of this whole Sapphire thing that Apple has cooking. But now I'm curious about what Apple's going to be able to do for their Apple Watch time frame window. Is it going to have to be pushed back from what they were hoping? And has it been pushed back already?
I think that the Apple Watch delay to 2015 was software based, not based on any kind of materials issue, not even processor or memory or storage or anything like that. I think it's all about the software.
I think you're right. But I think that if there are more delays from what they're hoping or for what they're shooting for in 2015, that could now relate to product supply issues from Sapphire.
Yeah, it's possible, but I still have to come back to the fact that Apple was building all these furnaces. Apple was paying for all these furnaces to be built, I should say. I just don't see that. I don't see that being all for the Apple Watch. From a physics standpoint, that makes no sense to me.
Sure. But If Apple hasn't taken possession of this Sapphire yet, and it gets wound up in the Chapter 11 proceedings, Apple may not be able to take the Sapphire for a while.
Oh, that's possible.
And yeah, so really, it's not so much a manufacturing delay that I see as a potential problem, more of an ability to actually pay for and take the Sapphire.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's part of what's going on with Apple's wording about they're working with the government officials.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really sure, by the way, what state and local officials have to do with GTAT's bankruptcy proceedings, because that involves the courts.
Well, in a general sense, that would be the courts.
State and local officials are not the courts. They're not judges. Apple is not working with judges.
Well, if you want to be very vague, you could say state officials and talk about judges. However,
but Apple can't work with judges.
as a creditor, they can
Fair enough.
Work with the
I'll take that.
The bankruptcy court. However, that's federal. That's not state.
Is also a good point. Where state and local officials come in is zoning, regulation, and tax breaks.
And criminal investigation.
Yeah.
I'm not implying that there's a criminal investigation here. But...
But again, generally speaking, Apple wouldn't be working with... There's nothing for Apple to proactively work with investigators if there were any crime. Yeah, I definitely don't think that applies to this.
Yeah, probably not
to the situation. So usually it's and I mean like you know the reason why Apple has this plant in Arizona is because they got a ridiculous deal on it, and I think they bought the whole thing for like $113 million. This is a I think it's a 14 million square foot facility. Okay. That's the size of two football fields.
So they bought this this facility with Tim Cook's flash money.
Yeah, exactly. And you know they got a tax break. They got tax breaks from the local school districts. They got tax breaks from everybody. That's the sort of thing that big companies work with state and local officials on. So I'm not sure how that relates to GTAT's bankruptcy proceedings. It's all I don't know. It's all interesting. We don't know enough yet.
No, we don't. And because there's so little that's known right now, there's going to be a lot of rampant speculation. And my guess is that it's just going to just tear apart GTAT's stock value while
that's
people
a, are... That's already done.
It's going to prevent GTAT's stock from rebounding for a while.
Yeah, probably.
Assuming it does.
Yeah. Probably. Speaking of rampant speculation, I have it on good authority that people are rushing to iTunes to leave us horrible reviews even now. But wait, wait. I have it on great authority that people love us and they're rushing to iTunes to leave great reviews for our podcast.
I like this story better.
But if you have the time, go leave us a review.
Yes, please. Yeah, we enjoy getting your feedback. We enjoy when you give us reviews, and it gives us validation.
Yeah, you can call us idiots too. We're used to it.
Actually, yes, we are.
Comes with the territory.
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. We have a third topic. Oh, this is kind of another downer, isn't it? Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on who you are.
I don't think it's so much a downer. It's just a speculation on what's going to happen with the overall market with credit card-based payments.
Yeah. So we had, what was it? Was it 2012 or 2013 when Coin announced their thing? Or 13 or 14, I mean.
I get it was 2013.
So, and the Coin is a single, it's an electronic device that you can program and code your, program with your credit card information, and encode your credit card information, multiple credit cards into a single Coin device.
Yeah, it's like a consolidated credit card. So you have all your accounts in there, and then you just bring up the one that you want to use. Like, let's say you're at a restaurant where you're going to pay with your Visa as opposed to your American Express. You just tell it use the Visa.
So switch over there.
And you hand it over just like you would a regular credit card, and they run it just like a regular credit card.
Yeah. And
it's a clever idea.
It's a very clever idea. It was very exciting. It's basically would allow you to carry it and maybe a backup credit card just in case something went wrong. Mm-hmm. Instead of carrying six of them or eight of them or 10 of them, or, you know, there are people out there with 20 credit cards.
Right. And you could load up eight cards in this thing and away you go.
And away you go. And everyone was super excited about it. We were super excited about it. Everyone was on staff. I was like, I can't wait to see this thing. And then, of course, it got delayed. Right. It's supposed to launch this fall. And instead, they announced that it wouldn't launch until spring.
Right.
And it kind of got everybody tense. And now we had, this week, we had the launch of...
Plastic.
Clever name.
It is. It, plastic without the I. And it's very much like Coin, in that you can load up a bunch of credit cards, debit cards, and loyalty cards into a credit card-sized device. The difference, though, is that Plastic can hold up to 20 cards, and it apparently has a better screen, so it can display all the barcodes from loyalty cards. So you can still scan those just as if you had a regular loyalty card with a barcode printed on it. It's supposed to have some better security features, but still very similar to the ones that Coin has. And
but to be fair, Coin could add the loyalty card. Coin could expand what it does.
You can do loyalty cards with Coin. I believe it's just a little bit more limited in the way you access them compared to Plastic. But they both do loyalty cards. But with Plastic, you have a built-in rechargeable battery as opposed to, it's like a two-year battery that when it dies in the coin, you just replace the coin card. And it's also a wireless charging card, or battery. So you can leave the card in your wallet and just set your wallet on the charger plate, and it'll recharge the battery. The battery runs for 30 days. And it also has NFC, and it has the chip and pin system built in, which I believe is EMV. And then it also has RFID. So that means that you can use this next year at all the places that will have to start accepting chip and pin style credit card transactions.
Right.
It will work any place where you would do an NFC style transaction like you can or will be able to do soon with the iPhone 6 and Apple Pay.
Right.
And it also means that if you work at a facility where they have key card entry systems that run off of RFID, you may be able to load that key card into this one card as well.
Right. All of which is fine and dandy. They're still screwed.
I don't know if they're screwed, but I fear that Coin may be. And the reason that I think Plastic may not be screwed is because they have chip and pin and NFC support, which future-proofs them for the new card reader systems that banks are
yeah, you know, and they've got a nice big ink-based display. The problem is that once we get over this technical hurdle, smartphones are a markedly easier way to manage all of this stuff and do all this, to perform these actions. Smartphones are better than credit cards.
I agree completely. I think that
these are better than credit cards phase. Too.
Oh, absolutely.
But smartphones are better than even that.
And I agree. But I think that we are in a transition phase where it's not going to be either or for a while. It's going to be a market where we need to have both, because there will be some. Actually, there's going to be a lot of retailers that aren't going to be on board for NFC, which means that you can't use your iPhone to pay or your Android phone or whatever smartphone. But they're going to be required to do chip and PIN. So that means that if you can consolidate the rest of your cards into one thing for chip and PIN, you're good to go. And I fear that Coin is not in that game, because if they were, I believe they would have told us.
Well, maybe. Keep in mind that Plastic didn't tell us anything until they announced.
Right, but Coin
made a very big splash, you know, obviously more than a year before they launched.
They did. And as they have been progressing, they have not said we're adding more features. They've been saying that it's actually proven to be more difficult to make the cards than they thought.
Yeah, you know, but it's I rampant speculation. It's what we do. If I were Coin, I may have learned from having over-promised and under-delivered to cease doing that. And it's even possible that one of the reasons why they're delayed is because they have to build the chip and pin stuff into their card. That's why they're delayed. That's possible. I have no idea.
You know, if that was the case, I think it would have been in Queen's best interest to tell us we've delayed, but for good cause, because we know this chip and pin transition is coming. Therefore, we wanted to build a card that you'd be able to use more than 6 months.
Yeah. Now, do you know Larry Niven? I know I've talked to you about him, but you may have, you know, like, uh-huh, yeah, whatever, Brian.
Not personally. It's not like Larry and I have hung out and had dinner, but I know who Larry Niven is, and I have read some of his works.
You have read some of his works?
Yeah.
Independent of me going on about them.
Yeah. And didn't Larry team up with Jerry Purnell for the Ringworld series?
Not precisely. He the first book, Ringworld, was written by Larry Niven.
Okay. But Jerry Purnell wrote later Ringworld books, didn't he?
Yeah, later they worked together. What Larry Niven got to a point in his career. All right, so Larry Niven is a science fiction writer. He's an old school science fiction writer. He was writing in the 60s and 70s. I encountered him in the 70s when I was a kid. And later in his career, he started doing a lot of collaborations with somewhat younger authors. But I actually, Jerry Purnell and he may be age peers, but whatever. He's an older guy now, but I finished my book, by the way. Again, did I tell you that?
You did, but all of our listeners didn't know.
I didn't tell you that totally on the microphone. And this is relevant because Larry Niven was a pretty big influence on me as a young man, and I thought that a lot of things that he talked about in his early books were very prescient. Mm-hmm. For instance, marriage contracts. In his future Earth, people would marry for specified periods of time, 2 years, 3 years, 6 years, 6 months.
Which in many cases is how it works today, although it's not called marriage contract, it's called bad life choice.
Well, right. With the marriage contract, at the end of that, when the contract expires, you'd no longer be married. You'd have to choose to get a new contract. And I personally like this idea, actually. I like this idea a lot because it's, it makes sense because people change as they go through life. And I think that would actually bring the right dynamic pressure. I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me. That's fine. That's one of the things that I think he was pressing about. Another thing that he this wasn't in his known space universe, which is where the Ringworld stories took place. This was in a one-off book called, oh my goodness, I'm going to forget what it's called. How interesting. Such an influential book to me, and it's gone. So his character was put on a seed ship that whose job was to terraform other stars, other planets around other stars.
Seed as opposed to sea.
Correct. Okay. Seed ship. And ends up coming when he gets back to Earth because of relativistic time travel. Several centuries, many centuries have passed since he left. And the civilization that sent him out has, you know, gone by the wayside a long time ago, as have a couple of other civilizations. And so he's down on Earth and he's trying to figure out stuff. And he finds a card. And this was at a point in the 70s before credit cards were, well, no, I guess they were the, anyway. So he picks up a plastic card, and numbers changed on the card to indicate the balance. So it was like a physical plastic card, you know, like Larry wasn't thinking of displays.
Yeah, he's thinking that the card itself morphed to show.
Yes.
The bank balance.
Right, right. And so this guy found it. You know, like I said, civilization is climbing. Earth is, I guess, thousands of years have passed. Earth is maybe even millions of years. I forget now. But anyway, so he finds this card, and I just always thought that was a really clever idea. And this thing that coin and plastic are doing, to a large extent, are very, very similar to what Larry was talking about back in the 70s here. And I just kind of wanted to give him props.
You know, there's a lot of of really good sci-fi writers out there that deserve props for coming up with these clever ideas. And then later on, we are actually doing those things. Well, Star Trek, the classic series, is a perfect example. I mean, look at all the things that they were saying were showing as 23rd century technology that we've already surpassed.
Yeah, science fiction in general, most people who try to guess what the future brings, they underestimate the near future and overestimate the far future. That's generally speaking how that works. You know, like we were supposed to have jetpacks and flying cars and stuff in the 90s, and, you know, that clearly didn't happen. Anyway, Apple Pay, I think, is going to eventually... Apple Pay and whatever else ends up coming up on Android and whatever else ends up being on Microsoft devices, at some point, I think smartphones are going to utterly obviate and make obsolete credit cards in general, even super clever, super smart concepts like plastic and coin.
Sure. I think that's inevitable. I think in the relatively near term, that this isn't going to be a Highlander scenario. There's going to be multiple players in this game, meaning multiple types of technology. And I think that NFC on smartphones, not just the iPhone, is definitely a big part of that. And I think the idea of a well-implemented consolidated card like coin or plastic will be a player as well. However, I think that that unless coin has some surprises up their sleeve that they just haven't shared with us yet, that they're going to have a really hard time being relevant, where plastic will have that advantage because they have EMV and NFC.
I think coin can handle competition from plastic in the long run. I think that neither of them can stand up to Apple Pay. In the short, let me rephrase that. In the short term, they can stand up to plastic. I think that both of them are going to have a very difficult time dealing with plastic in the long run. Dealing with Apple Pay in the long run.
But if they're really smart, they've already made plans for when the market changes, and they will have something else that will allow them to stay relevant.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but it may not be mobile payments. It may be in security systems or some other ID system.
Yeah, it's all going to go to the smartphone, man. It's all going to go to the smartphone. Our smartphones are going to become communications devices that handle just about everything. And until some other paradigm comes along utterly to change that, I think the credit card format is going to go away and soon.
I don't think the credit card format will go away soon, but I agree. It is going away.
All right, we are 2 hours. I'm sorry, 1 hour and 3 minutes.
Oh, well, knowing us, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. All right. Well, then how about if I wrap us up?
All right. Do it.
And that's this week. Wow. Okay. We'll just pretend. We'll have the interns fix it. Yeah. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening. And we haven't told people where to find us on Instagram lately, so we should do that.
Well, we just told people where to go on iTunes.
We did?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll do Instagram next week.
Okay. Now you have to tune in next week to figure out where to find us on Instagram.
Exactly. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
And stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Cranky cup of ketchup. Say that five times fast.